Yeah, O'Brien's Pub, which was where the Can-Am party was. We had some had to have some slight changes in the Can-Am party due to it being the program being held at a university.
Right.
Which for some reason was not excited to have a bathtub filled with beer at the on campus.
Yeah.
The New Brunswick Archaeology Podcast, featuring your hosts, Gabe Reinick and Ken Holyoke.
Welcome back to the New Brunswick Archaeology Podcast in Southern New Hampshire. I'm Gabe Reinick, and I'm joined, as I am just about every fortnight, a little bit later than a fortnight this time, by Ken Holyoke, who, in a surprise twist, I believe is in Keswick.
This is a New Brunswick Archaeology Podcast where we could have had full New Brunswick content, but we've got the two news, but one is Hampshire and one is Brunswick. So
that's right. And how are you, Ken?
I'm doing well. I can tell it's been a while since we spoke, Gabe, because your beard is now like at least triple the length. I can tell you're going through the. It's been a tough couple weeks in America, and. And the gray in your beard is really showing it, so.
Well, Ken, you didn't think I had to grow this out because just depending on what happened in the election, I was going to have to throw a Viking hat on and find my way down to the Mid-Atlantic?
Land of the free. Exactly. You're living free and you're dying hard.
Yes, exactly. That's what we go for here. But Ken, as you know, I'm down here because I was going to the Eastern States Archaeological Federation meeting.
That is correct. Yeah, the ESAF meeting. So what we're going to be presenting the listeners with this week is the, I believe this is the first intrusive feature for season 3. And so we're going to be treated to a series of interviews with Dr. Reinick. I was unable to go to ESAF this year. I opted to stay home and be actually like a decent husband and be around for my wife's birthday, which ESAF unfortunately seems to be always scheduled around my wife's birthday. But
Ken, it's hard to believe that you don't think ESAF encourages a harmonious marriage.
It's always one that I think about. Would be a great, like, it's always in New England, right? Which would be, you know,
Well, it's not always in New England. It's often in rural New York.
Well,
or Maryland.
So this is the thing, though, is I guess in my mind it's always in some idyllic New England community, and it is rarely there. In fact, it's usually in some kind of post-industrial wasteland beside the highway. But this year
it was actually.
So tell us a little bit about it, Gabe. Where was the conference? Who are we going to hear from today? And we'll start there. And I got a couple other questions for you.
Sure thing. Okay, so it was in Newport, Rhode Island, of all places, which is
presumably
very snaggy
on a yacht.
Locale. No, Ken. It was not, unfortunately, on a yacht because ESAF likes to stay within budget. But it was at Salve Regina University, which, if you don't notice that the ground is still, could easily be a yacht. It's a college that appears to be composed entirely of abandoned mansions, which my understanding is the college acquired to sort of assemble their campus.
Yeah. Well, all your pictures from the weekend sort of looked like you were at Hogwarts.
Yes. Yeah. Magical. Yeah,
magical.
It was magical.
Indeed.
Yes. Yeah, not everyone knows this about ESAF, but in order to maintain a certain atmosphere, we do all wear robes.
Yeah, it's not at all cult-like.
No, ESAF is the furthest thing from a cult you could possibly imagine. I think I was just telling you as we were talking before the podcast that I think if you took just the average of the papers, the quality was probably the highest I've seen at an ESAF meeting. And I would actually say the average was probably a little stronger than the typical SAA meeting. Like, the papers were really, really good this year.
That's fantastic.
We're going to hear from, I think, and so this is the plan anyway, and it's going to depend a little bit on the quality of the audio I got, Emmanuel. But the plan is that first we're going to hear from Zach Singer, who's the outgoing president of ESAF. And Zach's going to tell us a little bit about the organization and also some very cool work he's been doing at a deeply stratified site in Maryland, the Barton site, which is a site near and dear to my heart because I took a field school there.
Yeah, and Dr. Zach Singer is the Maryland State Archaeologist.
the terrestrial archaeologist.
Right, yes. Okay, all right.
Not to be confused with the extraterrestrial archaeologist, who I think is his sidekick. He fills in when he's not working. And they're also going to talk about the use of this device called the Paleo Digger that they used to successfully excavate some very deep Paleo-Indian deposits at the Barton site. We're then going to hear from our own Trevor Charlemagne Dow, who's going to talk about some of the sites he checked, or some of the papers he checked out, and also that he was promoting the New Brunswick bibliography that's just been out. Then we're going to hear from Deirdre McGrath, a PhD student at UMaine, who also won the poster competition.
Oh, congratulations,
she's going to be talking
Deirdre.
About, yeah, she did an excellent, really excellent job. Her poster was actually a ArcGIS story map, which is very cool. So congratulations to Deirdre, and I enjoyed that a lot. And that's got some Maine content. And then we're going to hear about Nathaniel Kitchell, who teaches at Salve Regina University, which is where the meeting was. And so he talks a little bit about co-hosting the meeting. And he also talks a bit about his research, which is about the Munsungan Lake Quarry. The listener will be familiar with Nathaniel. He's been on to chat Paleo-Indians with us before.
A fellow lover of Red Shirt.
Yes, he loves Red Shirt. And it was actually kind of fun. They had the display case of the some of the greatest hits of their recent work in Munsungan.
Nice.
Up in the same building that the exhibit was on. So you got to actually, like, you know, smell the fluted points, which is always popular at ESAF. Then we're going to hear from John Alperstein, who's at Dartmouth College. He's a PhD student there. And what he's working on is geophysical techniques to locate mounds in Vermont, New Hampshire. So very, very cool, non-intrusive way to locate those features. Then we're going to hear from Stephanie Shallow, who is a PhD student at University of Connecticut, where she is working on Paleo-Indian archaeology. She's also employed by Heritage Consulting, which is a CRM company in Connecticut. Then we're going to hear from Heather Rockwell, who is the other co-host at Salve, who put on this program. And she also talks about her research and her students' research there in the Historic Preservation Program, much of which also relates to research at Munsungan Lake. And then we're going to hear from John Kelly of the Public Archaeology Lab. And what John is going to talk about is actually a session he chaired, which I thought was sort of a cool idea. It was the Public Archaeology Lab was one of several CRM companies that was extremely well represented at this conference. And basically they did a session that was on Powell's work in Rhode Island. And basically it was sort of like a summary of, like, this is what we've been doing for the last 2 years in Rhode Island specifically.
Very cool.
So it was an all Powell session. And I should say the other organizer of this year's meeting, who unfortunately I didn't manage to get on the show, is Dave Leslie, who is the senior, or I guess owner and senior, and one of the seniors at a couple of CRM companies in New England, including Heritage and TerraSearch, and now VBR, Virginia Bunker, in New Hampshire.
Very nice.
And also has something to do with Goodwin. I don't quite understand the I don't know. Dave, call in with your business structure. But another one of these just very impressive CRM shops down in New England. And anyway, Dave is the conference guru for ESAF now. He's the ESAF representative to whoever hosts the conference. And they all did an excellent job.
Excellent. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about, it sounds like there's lots of content from across academia and the consulting world. So some of the listener might not remember our previous interviews about the ESAF. And so conference is a little bit unique in that it welcomes participation from avocational archaeologists as well. And what's kind of fun about ESAF is that everybody actually sees everybody's paper, because there's only one session that runs. And so they have multiple sessions, but there's only one concurrent session. So you never miss any talks. You're all kind of in one big room taking in everything. And so there's kind of, it creates a much more kind of a network feel and a much more community feel to the whole weekend, because everybody's kind of experiencing everything throughout the day.
Yeah, that's right. So it's sort of cool. You sit there with a bunch of folks, and everyone kind of has the same thing to talk about, which is fun too. So, you know, in the evenings, you're chatting about the whatever papers you saw.
So we've got some great interviews coming up, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what was the highlight of the food and beverage scene in Newport, Rhode Island?
So that's a great question, Ken. And so I should say the only perhaps downside about this ESAF was that it was very spread out. So moving from the college to the hotel to restaurants was sort of complicated. So I didn't actually explore the food scene as much as I would have liked. That said, one thing that I would recommend is apparently a Newport classic dish. I had it at a couple different places, both at the restaurant at the Wyndham and at a place called O'Brien's Pub. And that's a item called a stuffy.
So this is presumably scallops wrapped in $100 bills?
No, that's at everywhere except O'Brien's Pub and the it's like expressing an orange peel over a over an old fashioned. they just take the $100 bill and they flick it over your food so you can taste
zest.
The old money.
Yeah,
exactly, a zest of hundreds. And but no, it appears to be it's a sort of clamshell that's had the clam removed, and I think it's chorizo, clam, and breadcrumbs sort of chopped together into a delicious stuffing, and then put back in the shell. And it's delicious, it turns out.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it was very, very good. And then, O'Brien's Pub, which was where the Can-Am party was, we had to have some slight changes in the Can-Am party due to the program being held at a university.
Right.
Which for some reason was not excited to have a bathtub filled with beer at the on campus. Yeah. And
again, for the listener, if you're not familiar with ESAF, one of the things that is sort of legendary about the conference is that they, because Eastern States Archaeological Federation brings in Northeastern archaeologists from like Ontario and Quebec and the Maritimes, as well as in the States, is that so the membership and the attendees at the meeting are pan North American, and so they always host a Canadian American friendship party, which is that if it's in the United States, some of the Canadian delegates bring along some of their favorite Canadian beer, and if it's in Canada, the American delegates bring a flavor of south of the border.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, I mean, there were a bunch of things I enjoyed about this this meeting. But another one I just wanted to plug is that student engagement at ESAF is way up. We had about 10 papers entering the student paper poster competition. So that is great. It's really great to see. I mean, that's been a major goal of the organization in the last couple of years, really has been trying to, as John Lothrop, the past president who really kind of helped to turn some of this around, he's always talking about an inverted demographic pyramid at ESAF, which is a very polite way of saying that Northeast archaeology was looking a little old.
Yeah.
And that seems to be turning around. And so it was great to see a bunch of students presenting really great research. And I apologize, listener, I would have actually liked to get more interviews with students, but due to some of the obligations I had with the organization, my interviews were actually mostly collected during about a 2-hour time slot during which the students were presenting their posters. And while they were doing that, there was a lot of interest and support actually too, and comments from other archaeologists. And so I wasn't able to easily sneak in and interrupt that process. So what you've got is the professionals for the most part, but I should say there was great student turnout and a lot of really interesting material.
Seems like one of our episodes maybe this fall will be getting a bunch of student researchers short interviews on the New Brunswick Archaeology podcast.
I think that's a great idea, actually. We should do sort of an update on people's theses, people's posters,
yep.
A little bit of everything I think would be good.
Yep. I think we're supervising a student. You're supervising a student, and I'm an internal on that student's thesis. I think they'll be coming up fairly soon, couple of them actually, and so yeah, I think it'd be fun to get a little student roundup maybe.
Absolutely, yeah. And actually Josh Cummings, who you're talking about, my student, and Dave Black, my supervisor, presented a poster at ESAF, one of many good posters at ESAF, and it was about the distribution of late archaic materials on visible in collections from New Brunswick on river drainages where they mostly hadn't previously been reported from. So kind of an exciting paper or poster.
Lovely. So with that, listener, we're going to turn you over to Gabe and his interviews. And
so I'm joined by Dr. Zach Singer, who is the, for a few more hours, the president of ESAF, right? Is that how that works? Or tomorrow you're out?
Tomorrow I'm out.
All right, excellent. So could you tell the listener a little bit about ESAF?
Sure. The Eastern States Archaeological Federation is it's a group of folks from that. It's a group of archaeological societies that have come together to promote archaeology in the Eastern region. And it's comprised of both professional archaeologists as well as avocational archaeologists.
Excellent. Great. And how's the organization doing?
The organization is doing well. We're in good shape. We have good attendance at this meeting at Salve Regina. We have it's a joint conference with their historic preservation conference, so have archaeologists mingling with architectural historians and preservationists. So we're broadening our horizons and making sure that we all understand the important work we do for preserving the past.
Excellent. So far, no fights in the hallway or anything like that. It seems to be all going smoothly.
So far, so good.
Okay, yeah, they'd be reported to you, I assume. So. and I understand that tomorrow you're going to be presenting on a site that we actually both have a connection to, where I did my first field school, the Barton site in Allegheny County, Maryland.
Correct. Yeah, I'll be presenting on some deep investigations at the Barton site. The Barton site, which you worked on, is deeply buried and stratified. There's archaeological deposits down at least 7 feet below the surface. And so I'm going to be talking about ways that we've tried to investigate that that deep cultural stratigraphy. So both kind of traditional excavation as well as using some more modern refined techniques of coring and ground penetrating radar.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about that, and I assume that's something you all probably publish at some point, and we can plug when that comes out and maybe get you on for a longer discussion.
Thanks. Yeah, that'd be great.
Excellent. Sounds good. Yeah. Thanks very much, Zach, and we will let you go here to the Dick Doyle foot nap in.
Great. Thanks, Gabe.
Excellent. Thanks, Zach. So here I am in Newport, Rhode Island with Trevor C. Dow, and we are standing in some sort of gilded mansion.
Yeah, it's the kind of place that smells like old money.
It does. And in fact, we've mostly been learning about old other things, like rocks.
Yeah, lots of old things.
Yeah, so Trevor, as you all know, is president of the APAMB, and he's down here in part kind of repping the bibliography he recently is the lead author on. And Trevor, what have been some of the highlights of your trip so far?
Honestly, just the city of Newport's been really nice. It's a lot of beautiful architecture here. The campus of Salve Regina University, where the conference is an absolutely beautiful campus. But as far as the conference goes, I think just seeing the level of student scholarship, there's been a lot of student presentations and posters that's showing really engaged academics, and I think it's really good to see.
Excellent, yeah, I agree. It's nice to see both students and a lot of CRM research, too, for an APAMB related topic.
Yeah, I think that's one of the unique things about ESAF. I think they do a really good job of bringing together the academic community and the CRM community and encouraging everyone to sort of disseminate the results of their research like that. So,
excellent.
Which we all know is an important thing to do.
It is important. Any particular talks you've enjoyed?
I really enjoyed our good pal Al Hunsinger's talk on the Edmonds Formation, Hinckley Point, metasediment, whatever we want to call it. That was really good. I really enjoyed the bioanthropological talk today about yellow fever in Louisiana. I really enjoyed that. It was nice to see something that was a little different, kind of out of the wheelhouse for your typical ESAF presentations. But it's been a really good few days of academics and presentations. So.
Fantastic. Well, I'll let you get back to the CRM Expo here, which we're standing in, and also the poster session. Thanks very much, Trevor.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm joined now by Deirdre McGrath here still in Newport, still in the book room. And Deirdre is a PhD student in anthropology and policy. Environmental policy, I'm sorry, at the University of Maine in Orono. And how are you enjoying the conference so far?
Oh, it's great. I'm having an awesome time.
I'm so glad. And so can you tell us a little bit about the research you're presenting here?
Oh, yes. So I'm presenting a story map, an ArcGIS story map, on a project that we started 2 years ago, run by Bonnie Newsom, Dr. Bonnie Newsom, at UMaine Orono, about this site at Scudic Peninsula called Fraser Point, where there's both an indigenous site and a historic site for Douglas Fraser, who was one of the first free black people to live in the region.
Oh, cool.
And his family. And so the indigenous site is about 3,000 years old. It's ancestral Wabanaki. And so I'm presenting a story map on the overlapping histories of the region.
That's fantastic. We're really looking forward to learning more about that. And actually, probably as you go along with that, we may have you back on again to talk more about it, because that's very much in the wheelhouse of what our listeners are interested in.
Yes, yes.
And so I was wondering if you could tell us what the highlight of your time in Newport so far has been.
Oh, definitely being adopted by the UNB UNE crew, because I'm the only person from UMaine Orono here.
Well, we're happy to have you in the crew. And in fact, you were there so much that we just confidently decided you would be in charge of the ethics committee for ESAP next year.
Yes, so, which I'm proud to do. I'm really glad. So thank you.
Excellent. We're really glad to have you on that. So thank you very much, and we'll let you get back to your poster.
Awesome. Thanks, Gabe.
Thank you. All right, I'm joined now by Nathaniel Kitchell of Salve Regina University, and Nathaniel has the interesting role here of having co-organized this conference along with Heather Rockwell and Dave Leslie. So I'm having a great time. Can you tell us a little bit about what the highlights have been for you of this process, or the lowlights, whatever you want to do, Nathaniel?
I think, honestly, the highlights for me having the conference here at Salve Regina University is introducing ourselves and our university to the broader archaeological community and being able to support the Eastern States Archaeological Federation meeting here at Salve and through providing a venue and for a cooperative conference. And it's been really great to welcome the archaeological community here to Salve. I mean, I think we have a really wonderful venue here, but also a really incredible opportunity to support archaeology in the Northeast and beyond. And we're really thrilled to do that. It's not to say it hasn't been a lot of work putting it together. It makes me appreciate the organizers of previous ESAP conferences, but I have to say, overall, it's been worth it. And of course, I do really need to put most of the credit on my co-organizer, Heather Rockwell, who's taken the lead on everything here and made it into the conference that it's been.
Exactly, listener. That's the reason I can talk to Nathaniel right now is Heather's actually off doing something to run the conference, and Nathaniel wandered by, so I grabbed him. But you also presented on some work this meeting, and that's some of your ongoing work at Munsungus.
Yeah, that's right. So this ESAP meeting, I presented some of the preliminary results from the 2024 Salve Regina Archaeological Field School, which takes place in far northern Maine, northern Piscataquis County, within the Munsungan Lake Formation, geologic formation of Maine. And for those of you that don't know, it is an important pre-contact indigenous coolstone source where people in the past would go to gather coolstone for chipstone tools, the most famous of which is a dusky red material, sometimes shot through with bluish, blue or greenish gray veins, very visually striking, visually distinctive, which seems to have been particularly favored during the Kudu Point period at the end of the last ice age, but does make an appearance later in time as well. And so I have been working at various coolstone quarries in the Munsungan Lake region associated with that red chert for, I think, the past 8 years now, and with the primary goal of locating a Fluted Point period occupation, that is to say a Pleistocene or Ice Age occupation in the region. And I'll be honest, at the beginning of this field school, I was beginning to have some doubts about whether that would ever come to fruition. However, it did. We had a really successful field season for that particular research question, identifying, locating three different fluted bifaces, including one complete fluted point, which is not from the Munsungan Lake region. And so while we only have preliminary results at this point, we have identified that very ancient Ice Age work tool stone workshop or stone tool manufacturing workshop. And so we're really excited to go back and expand our research questions and see what we can learn from that particular location.
That's fantastic. Congratulations on that project and congratulations on a great meeting so far.
Well, thank you so much, Gabe. We really appreciate it. We're so glad you could make it down. We always appreciate you bringing such a wonderful cadre of students.
Yeah. Thanks, Nathaniel. Appreciate it. Thanks very much. That was great. All right, so I'm joined by John Alperstein of Dartmouth College here in the book room at Newport for the ESAF meeting. And how are you doing, John?
I'm doing pretty well. You know, it's a pretty swanky place we have right now for this conference. And Newport's been great. Just finished the cliff walk, which I recommend everyone to do.
That's great. Was that the highlight of your trip so far?
I mean, it's also just great to see what research is happening in the New England scene. And it's been really great to have a large group of people. Some big names are here today, so that's pretty awesome, and I'm really excited to share my work tomorrow, kind of about some geophysical investigations into the historic Oxbow district of Vermont, New Hampshire, where we're trying to kind of map domestic architecture throughout the region and kind of figure out what the settlement pattern is for the last 3,000 years. So.
That's great. I'm excited to see that, and any food or drink you've had in Newport that you particularly enjoyed?
You know, O'Brien's. Let me tell you that Reuben was way better than I expected.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. That's O'Brien's Pub. We've got a recommendation for the Reuben.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
I've heard they're serving golfing lately, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks so much, John. We appreciate it. Cheers.
All right, so I'm joined now by Heather Rockwell at Salve Regina College, and she is, in addition to being an archaeologist who's presenting and working here, is also one of the people who organized this conference. So Heather, I was wondering if you could just tell the listener a little bit about what are the highlights, lowlights, if you want, of organizing the conference and what you've enjoyed about it so far.
Sure, the conference has been fantastic. It's been really fun to bring in so many people so our students get access to a really broad range of scholars. I think that's been incredibly powerful for them. It's always just really fun too to get to bring all of your friends and colleagues to where you work all the time, especially because this campus is such a special place. Conferences are always hard to organize. I feel like I have been running for like 4 days straight. So I will be exhausted at the end, but ultimately really happy.
Yeah, I bet. I feel like it's been going really well, though.
I think so, too. It's been really great. We've had great success. You know, over 170 people registered for this conference with, you know, more than 50 presenters, which feels great.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about the collaboration? So this is actually, maybe ESAF has done this a few times in the past, but very rarely has ESAF combined with another group. And can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So Salve Regina University is home to a program called the Noreen Stoner Drexel Cultural and Historic Preservation Program. It's one of only 8 undergraduate programs in the nation that provides cultural and historic preservation as a major.
Cool.
And part of our program tradition is that every other year we host a preservation conference. And we interpret preservation really broadly. So we do museum studies, architectural history, archaeology are all considered part of this conference. So when we were planning our conference for 2 years out for this year, 2024, I wanted to see if maybe we could pair with another conference that is near and dear to my heart, which is the annual Eastern States Archaeological Federation Conference, which I've been going to now since I was probably, I think, 20. And so when I reached out to the organizers to see if they might want to pair with us on this, it seemed like a really natural fit. Both of us are sort of into public-private partnerships and working a lot with avocational communities. And we have shared a lot of kind of core themes and values. So it seems to really work out really well.
That's fantastic. And you mentioned student engagement. We're both on the student engagement committee. And I think we're probably both pretty happy about just how many students there are here compared to in the past. So I think we've got something like 10 student papers and posters.
Yeah, nearly 20% of our presentations in our program this year are from students, which
fantastic.
Is way up from previous years. We also have a ton of student attendees. Just in my quick back of the napkin math, about 75 of the signups this year were from students.
Oh, wow. That's great. Yeah. And that's a big sign, I think, maybe of the success. We're sort of trying to do what John always calls the inverted demographic pyramid. We're trying to change slightly the structure of that. So in addition to organizing this conference, your day job is you're an archaeologist who works on a topic that's very of very high interest to our listeners. Could you tell us a little bit about what you've been working on lately?
Sure. So my main research is in colonization, and I'm currently working at the Munsungan Lake Formation with my colleague, Dr. Nathaniel Kitchell. We have a site that we've discovered up there that is close to the only known locality of Red Munsungan Chert. We have been working there for a long time, about 8 years now, and just recently we have recovered 3 fluted points.
Excellent.
From a single spot. So that's been taking up a lot of our time. Some of the projects going forward that are going to be sort of more me focused is going to be looking at some of the spatial distributions of that site. We're trying to understand if we could identify things like household level occupations in the area, as well as looking at some of the stone tools themselves to see if they're utilized.
That's fantastic. Yeah, and we enjoyed talking to Nathaniel about some of that too in his interview. And we also enjoyed being able to see the artifacts themselves, which are on display here at Salve outside of your labs. So thank you very much, and congratulations on a successful conference.
Thank you so much, Gabe.
Yeah, we're good. All right, I am joined by John Kelly, who is a principal investigator at Public Archaeology Lab in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. And John, how are you enjoying the conference so far?
Good. There's been a good sort of mix of pre- and post-contact papers and a lot of good good research, so, and a lot of interesting sites. So it's been very good.
Excellent. And one of the things I particularly wanted to talk to you about, John, was you gave, or you chaired a particularly interesting session yesterday, which was at the intersection of cultural resource management and research. And so I wondered if you could tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Yeah, it's essentially just sort of going through sort of some of the different projects that PAL has been working on in the last couple years. And sort of highlighting sort of these varied CRM projects and the big contributions that they're making to sort of, you know, the inventory of sites and what we know about what's going on in Rhode Island, especially as some of the other presenters pointed out, some of these projects along these lengthy transmission lines where, you know, we're getting really good data, like Aaron Flynn's presentation on the Paleo-Indian sites on the transmission lines where we they've gotten the oldest radiocarbon dates in all of Rhode Island to date. So.
That's excellent. I mean, I feel like that's exactly like, you know, the kind of information. You guys are out doing so much of the work, you know, basically 90% of the work or more, and you're finding all sorts of stuff that the rest of us just aren't finding. So I enjoyed that a lot. What's been some of your favorite things in Newport so far?
Well, I've been... found myself eating at the same place every time, which was the O'Brien's Pub where the Canadian American Friendship Party was. So it was a good time last night with everyone there, and had lunch there today. that's been the big thing. And I've never actually been to the Salve Regina campus before, so this has been an interesting sort of walk around the campus as well.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, John, and congratulations on your session yesterday.
Thank you.